Our scripture reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. You're very welcome to open up the Bible if there's one close to you, or if you brought your own. And my intent is always to simply preach what is there before us in the Word, and not thoughts of my own making. May God bless His Word to us today. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the rest. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Amen. The Bible was once the best-selling book in the world. It may still be the best-selling book in the world. At one time, you might be surprised what the second best-selling book in the world was. Pilgrim's Progress. I doubt it's the second best anymore, but it still could be. I don't know. But the Pilgrim's Progress is the tale of a man who lived in a city called the City of Destruction. A terrible place. This book tells of his harrowing journey to the celestial city. If you have never read it, I think that you would be blessed to do so. Ephesians 2, 1 to 10 reminds me a bit of Pilgrim's Progress. For here we find out that we are all born in that terrible city, the terrible city of destruction. We find also how to escape it. We find out something about our journey to our new city, the city of Jerusalem, Jerusalem the golden, the celestial city. I have good news that I want to proclaim today. For all who are trusting in Christ, we're headed for that celestial city. Let's rejoice. Let's be glad. Let's praise the name of the Lord. Let's praise God that He has caused us to be born again, to flee that old city and to head out for Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem. As we come to this text, the first unit would be verses 1 through 3, which teaches us that we are all children of wrath. Children of wrath. What a terrible thing. We were dead, says verse 1, in our trespasses and sins. We were born dead. We were spiritually dead. Paul, I am sure, directed by the Holy Spirit, chose his words carefully when he wrote things like this. We were not born merely sick, not dying, but dead, trapped in the city of destruction. We can't just pick up and leave the city of destruction. We are dead in our sins. We cannot sprout wings and fly to the celestial city. We're dead. We cannot simply decide to relocate. We are born dead in our sins. Verse 2 goes on, and we find out that we were the walking dead. Oh, we have jobs and we get married and we do all kinds of things. We walk about, but we're the walking dead. We read in verse 2 that formerly we walked according to the course of the world. Sin was the way of life. Sin is the way of life for the unbeliever. We followed in the way of the prince of the power of the air. Without knowing it, we did his bidding. And we liked it. We served the spirit that now works in the lives of the sons of disobedience. We were dead lost. Verse 3 hammers home the point all the more. By nature, we were all children of wrath. Sinful by nature. We walked along what Jesus called the broad road that leads to destruction. The path that the whole world treads. We were in quite a state. We once thought that we were masters of our own destiny, that we are in charge of our lives and our futures. But we were wrong. There's a song that has always bothered me, and I know you've heard it, unless you're very young. Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. Those words make me cringe. You know, that's how the world lives. We want to do it my way. But you see, what Frank Sinatra didn't understand, and oh, I wish he did, he didn't understand that his way is the way that leads to destruction, and that our natural ways, the ways of the natural man, are ways that lead to destruction. Now, in the book Pilgrim's Progress, there lived an evangelist who walked the streets crying out, "Flee the city of destruction. Flee it. Run for your lives." But very few people listened to his cry. And I wonder, where are such men today who are crying out to a fallen world, flee the city of destruction, flee to Christ, run to Him. Well, verses 1 through 3 does indeed tell the story, the sad story, that we are children of wrath. But we come to verses 4 to 7, the second unit of this passage, where we see something else, something not gloomy and full of despair, but something glorious. By God's great love and mercy, He grants life to the dead. He grants life to the living dead. We see in verse 5 that for the second time in this passage, we were dead in our trespasses and sins. I don't know about your parents, but when my parents said something twice, I got a little bit worried. They had said it once, and they expected me to get it. And if they said it twice, I thought, oh my goodness, I'm in trouble. And God is saying something twice. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. The world says that people are naturally good. Dead. Babies are good, that rich people, poor people, all kinds of people, they're all good. It's just that disastrous thing to believe. I know of nothing more contrary to the Word of God than to believe that mankind is good. God says in Romans chapter 3 that there is none that does good. No, not one. And again, if we didn't get it, he also says in Romans 3, there is none righteous. No, not one. There is none good. There is no one righteous. If we don't get a grip on that, I don't know how we're ever going to turn to Christ. If the world doesn't get a grip on that, I don't know how the world turns to Christ. We are not good. We're not. But in verses 4 to 7, we find that God is. God is good in every way. The Apostle Paul lists some of the ways that God is good in this passage, and it's so beautiful. First, in verse 4, God is rich in mercy. Don't you love people like that, Christian brothers, who are rich in mercy? We mess up, and we think I'm in trouble. And we look at somebody expecting judgment, we find mercy. God is rich in mercy. I'm so grateful to a merciful God. That to be merciful means that He takes pity on us. He has compassion for sinners. He's rich in compassion. He's rich in mercy. And if it wasn't for this, what hope in the world would we have? God is rich in mercy. We read that He has great mercy and love. I'd like to think about God's mercy. I think about Jesus. Why did He feed 5,000 people? Scripture says it was out of compassion. He felt pity for some hungry people. Jonah was a prophet, and he did not want to preach the gospel in the city of Nineveh. But God wanted him to. God made him go and preach. And Jonah pouted when people were saved. When people confessed their sins, Jonah was upset. And God asked him a question. Jonah, should not I have compassion for these folks that don't know the difference between their right and their left hand? Should I not have compassion? Should I not have mercy? I am so thankful that God is merciful to sinners. The glory of the gospel. God is merciful, rich in love for us. I like the word that Paul says He is great in love toward us. He loved us, great in love with which He loved us. He's talking about a particular love for the elect, for those Christ came to save. I was at a men's prayer meeting this week, and they were talking about the doctrine of election, and my heart welled up within me because I was saved at the age of 7, but I did not know how much God loved me until I learned that it was in seminary long ago. I learned from the scriptures that He loved us simply because He did. Simply because He did. By His grace, He called us to Himself. He brought us to Himself. Gave us the faith that we have. Our salvation is utterly by grace. You see, this passage here talks about God. Talks about these things. In verse 8, we are saved on account of God's grace alone. You know what grace is? It is favor undeserved. It is favor undeserved. Do I deserve to go to the celestial city? No. Did I ever deserve it? No. Will I ever deserve it? No. Never will. We are saved by grace, favor undeserved. And I stand in wonder. I stand in amazement. And I ask God, why? Why me? I don't understand it. It's beyond my comprehension. I can just say thank you, thank you, thank you. Glory be to God, rich in grace and mercy. God is gracious in that He pardons the guilty. He doesn't save the righteous, He pardons the guilty. God is love. He made us alive in Christ. And then there's another part to this passage in verse 7 that Christ is, that in Christ, God is rich in kindness for us. Kindness. One of the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit. Kindness. It's one of my favorite ones. Don't you like people who are kind? Kindness is a gift of God. He's rich in kindness. I became certain that God had saved me and raised me from the dead when I was 7 years old. I'd had a happy young life. I was a healthy kid. But no sooner had I received Christ by faith that I became sick a lot. In and out of the hospital, missed a lot of school, grew quite weak. I really hated it when I was weaker than the other boys. It drove me crazy. You get picked on too when you're the weakest of the boys also. But I was sick for 2 years, off and on. But during that time, you know who was kind to me? Christ. I felt nothing but His comfort, peace, mercy, love. It is God's nature to be kind. I love that about God. He has been kind to me. If I never enjoyed another moment on this earth, God has shown me His kindness, and it's beyond dispute. So we look at His mercy, we look at His love, we look at His grace, we look at His kindness. What a wonderful God we have. What a beautiful God who loves us so. Well, then the third segment of our passage is verses 8 to 10. And namely that by God's grace He saves us. And then by His grace He gives us a new way of walking. A new way of walking. Understand that we can do nothing to save ourselves. Can't do a single thing to save ourselves. Not works. Works won't do it. Effort won't do it. Willpower will not do it. It's all of grace. By grace are you saved. Do you see it? It's by grace. It's not of works. If I thought that I had something to do with my salvation, I might become so arrogant that you couldn't stand me, be so proud of myself. I might look down on people and be so ugly. But it was all of grace. It's all of God. To Him be the glory. Any good in me, any good thing, it's not me, it's God. Anything decent that I have to say this morning, it'll be of God. By His grace. By grace are we saved, and by grace we live. Through faith. Can't leave faith out, can we? The Holy Spirit planted faith in me as a young boy. So grateful. So grateful. Faith is the means of salvation. Faith in Christ and through Christ, by the power of Christ. Faith is a gift. We talk about the gift of God here in verse verse 8. Everything in verse 8 is by grace and is a gift of God. Grace is a gift. Salvation is a gift. Faith is a gift. It's all God's gift. I am so thankful to God. I am so thankful to Him. Aren't you? Isn't God wonderful? Don't you just love Him? God is good. In verse 10, we move one more point, one more thing. We are God's workmanship. You belong to Christ through faith. You are God's workmanship. You are not dead anymore. 1 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. We're new. We're not dead. We're God's workmanship and we are created for great things. You were recreated by God for great things. And you have done great things that you may not understand, and you will do great things in the future because of God and that you are His workmanship. I like how God created us. It is said that we may do good works that He prepared that we should walk in them. What kind of good works has God prepared for you to work? Well, let's look at God's good works that we just talked about. Mercy. God prepared us to be merciful. He saved us to be merciful. God made us to be kind and to do works of kindness. God made us to do the things that He did for us. He made us so that since God is rich in mercy, we can show mercy and compassion to the needy, to the poor. We can be like God, and that's a great thing. I don't think it's a great thing to be a president of the United States. What's a great thing is to show mercy to somebody in need. What great things are we made to do? Love our neighbors. You've heard that before. Where have you heard that before? Love your neighbor as yourself. That's a great work. What's greater than loving your neighbor? There's nothing greater than that. That's what we're made to do. Being a preacher, that's nothing if I don't love my neighbor. What is preaching if you can't do that? What good am I? God made us to love our neighbors. He made us to show grace to those who do us wrong. That's a hard one. That's a hard one. But God will help us. God will help us. God saved us that we be kind. He did not save us because we are that way. We're not. He saved us so that we will be that way. He has things prepared down the road for you to do that involve kindness and love and mercy and grace. This is our real purpose in life. You know, as a church, you may not be aware of this, but you have done these things for Robin and me. You've been so gracious, so kind, letting me come and preach, so kind, letting us sing. You've been a big help, a tremendous help to us. This is just one little thing of the great things that God has called you to do. There's many more in store. You know, we began our lives in the city of destruction, and many never escape it. But God rescued us from that place and set us on a narrow road that leads to the celestial city. As we journey down that road, He has some important work for us to do. Give a cup of water to somebody in need. Forgive an enemy. Share the gospel of grace. And then when our work on earth is done, we arrive at home, we shall see Jesus. And we shall exult in saving grace. Let us pray. Father, thank You for saving grace, saving mercy, saving love. Thank You for recreating us, and thank You that that work is continuing in our lives day by day. Lord, thank You for a love that is greater than all other loves that ever existed, a love that sent Your Son, Jesus, to the cross. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.